Winners will be announced at the 80th Annual IBS International Media Conference, March 6th through 8th in New York City. For a full list of nominees, go to NowDecatur.com. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
The Senate will soon become the jury. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
So sad, so tragic for our country.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, after formally signing the articles of impeachment, then the seven House Democrats named managers to prosecute President Trump for abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, delivered the case to the Senate.
Managers will return today to read the impeachment articles to senators.
We'll pledge to rise above the petty factionalism and do justice for our institutions.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Chief Justice will be sworn in to preside over the trial this afternoon. The Chief Justice will then swear in senators who act as jurors.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern. The trial would start Tuesday. One of Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani's associates, who was indicted, accused of campaign finance violations, is speaking out about the Ukraine controversy. Fox's John Decker live at the White House.
In an interview on MSNBC, Rudy Giuliani associate Lev Parnas said President Trump knew
And then we lost our connection with John at the White House. He was pointing out that Lev Parnas had said that President Trump was aware of all his movements, and that Lev Parnas also claimed that Attorney General Bill Barr knew about the alleged effort to get Ukraine to announce an investigation into Joe Biden and son Hunter. The Justice Department put out a statement that the president had not asked the Attorney General to contact Ukraine or anything else and called it 100% false. The Senate will today consider the trade deal to replace NAFTA.
It should get approved very shortly, and that'll be tremendous with Canada and Mexico.
Well, President Trump said that at the signing ceremony for a new China trade deal yesterday that he hailed as great for U.S. farmers, but Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer says
this so-called deal does next to nothing of substance for workers and businesses feeling the brutal, merciless weight of China's trade and industrial abuse.
America's listening to Fox News.
Do you want to learn to speak a new language but don't have enough time? Then you need to try Babbel, the language learning app that you can try for free right now at Babbel.com. Babbel's lessons are just 15 minutes or less, and you can go at your own pace. You'll be amazed at how easy Babbel makes it. Start your first lesson in the language of your choice for free. Just download the Babbel app or go to Babbel.com now. That's Babbel.com.
This is a last chance alert. It's happening. In just days, Publishers Clearing House will award $5,000 a week forever. Enter now at PCH.com and you could win $5,000 a week for your life. Plus, after that, $5,000 a week for life for someone you choose. The $5,000 a week forever prize is guaranteed to be awarded on February 28th. So don't miss your last chance to win. Enter at PCH.com before it's too late. That's PCH.com. Hurry, award day is almost here. Go to PCH.com now. Entries due 225. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Iran is boasting about its nuclear program again. President Rouhani today claimed they're enriching more uranium now than when the international nuclear deal was signed in 2015. The U.S. pulled out of that in 2018, imposing new sanctions that angered Iran, which has warned European soldiers might not be safe after Britain, France, and Germany hinted at more sanctions to be imposed. All this a week after Iran shot down that Ukrainian passenger jet, killing all 176 people on board. Today,
diplomats from Canada, Ukraine, Britain, Afghanistan, and Sweden meeting today here in London. All five countries had citizens on board a Ukrainian airliner brought down by an Iranian missile last week. 57 were Canadian. Ukraine's foreign minister says the countries will discuss possible legal action, compensation, and how the crash is investigated. Iran has pledged to be accountable to countries who lost citizens. In London, Simon Owen, Fox News.
Virginia's governor declared a state of emergency ahead of a gun rights rally Monday. Democrat Ralph Northam's order bans all weapons from state capitol grounds starting tomorrow, fearing there could be violence at that rally staged by gun owners' rights advocates angry over gun control legislation. In Colorado, there's an attempt to take a cop's gun away.
Colorado State University police officer Philip Morris was cleared in the fatal shooting of Jeremy Holmes in 2017.
I believe Officer Phil Morris murdered my son.
Susan Holmes also believes Morris is too dangerous to have a gun.
He shouldn't even be a police officer.
Holmes filing a petition under the state's new red flag law, which allows family members or law enforcement to seek a court order to confiscate weapons from people thought to be a danger to themselves or others. Holmes marked a box on the emergency petition indicating she and Morris have a child in common, arguing that the language of the law is up for interpretation. But Holmes could face criminal charges because she signed the form under oath and penalty of perjury. Steve Rappaport, Fox News.
On Wall Street, stock futures are rising the day after the Dow set a record high. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
It's the NowDecatur.com ticket window, brought to you by First Mid Insurance Group. Make sure you listen to Buyers and Company every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. and the Eric Lee Show from 3 to 5 p.m. for your chance to see the Fighting Illini at the State Farm Center this season. The NowDecatur.com ticket window, presented by First Mid Insurance Group. On your home for Illini basketball, WSOY Decatur.
Frazier ahead to Nosubo.
Hi, this is Brady from the Brass Horn.
And this is Kylie from the Brass Horn, too.
It's time to crawl out of those holiday slumbers and get back to business. And for those of you that consider shopping as their main profession, business is booming.
The winter sale is starting at the Brass Horn and Brass Horn, too, which means you can get a great deal for yourself on that special item you missed out on for Christmas.
We've got all your favorites at 25 to 50% off. So come on down to see me at the Brass Horn.
And me at the Brass Horn, too.
To get those winter goodies while they last.
Check us out online and on our social media pages to get more details. See you soon.
Here's a look at your WSOY three-day weather forecast. Today is going to be sunny with a high near 30. And tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 20. And for Friday, it's going to be snow mainly after 3 o'clock, a high of about 32. And wind gusts as high as 28 miles per hour. For your Saturday, you're going to get more of that wind. You're going to have a 50% chance of rain, and it's going to be cloudy with temperatures down to 26 by the afternoon. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 17 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:06. Welcome to the 7 o'clock hour of Buyers and Company. Wayne Kent sits in for the vacationing Brian Byers. Mark Tupper this hour. Plenty of other stuff going on. Buyers and Company starts now.
Buyers and Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back, friends. 7.5 minutes after the hour. The sun has come up, though you don't see it. I'm very glad you're with us. Very glad. It's good to have you here. I'm glad you live in Central Illinois. I'm glad I live in Central Illinois. I really am. It's a great place to live.
You have everything that you need weather-wise, right?
That's right. Wayne, you're talking to people that don't live in Central Illinois, too.
Of course. We have lots. You know, when we have people, now, candidly, if I could say this, I have family all around the world. They always listen when I'm on the air. Yeah. I don't know if they're listening today, but we do.
They're looking outside, and they're going, man, it's hot. What's this guy talking
like when
about?
My aunt will even call in Australia. She will call in the show on direct line on Wednesday nights because it's 10 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning, depending on daylight savings and all that sort of stuff. She'll call in and comment on the show. I go, good Lord.
Giving you a critique?
That's for giving a critique. Because it's actually, when you talk about hot, it is very hot in Australia right now.
Well, they have all the fires.
For the fires and everything. I have a cousin who lives about 30 miles west of Sydney. And a couple of weeks ago, the temperature was the hottest place on earth in a little town called Penrith. 114.5 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Just and the humidity would be really, really high. I mean, it's not that dry heat.
Yeah. At 114, it doesn't matter with this wet heat, dry heat.
No.
It's hot.
It's very hot. And you know, as many of you are aware, that there's a real problem in Australia with fires right now. I did talk to my aunt on Monday. There was Monday or Tuesday, and she said it's cooled down and they're going to get 80 millimeters of rain, so that's 3/4 inch of rain, maybe or so, right?
Yeah, about that.
About that.
Sure. Yep.
Yeah. They're really pleased with that. But the fires are all around the Ring of Australia.
I was going to say, are any of your relatives in areas where there are fires encroaching on their property?
So most of my family lives on the East Coast, which is where the majority of the fires are. We haven't lost any property. I have my 90-something aunt and uncle were evacuated from their home. They live in the forest, more or less, so the closest fire to where the majority of the family lives, or kind of like, so I have an aunt who lives 2 hours north of Sydney. Fire's within about 15 miles of them. Down in the area where everybody's, where, like I was saying, my cousin, west of Sydney.
Right.
Anywhere as close as 3 to 4 miles away. And so they're being, and the fires there are like the fires here, in that they can race through the forest, or what we call, Australians call the bush, and race through the bush at 80 miles an hour. And my parents lost their first house to a bushfire.
When they were out?
In Australia, yeah.
Yeah.
They had a gully back behind their house. Australia, if there is forest around you, it's eucalyptus trees, gum trees. Gum trees have a propensity to shed their bark every year. It's not like an oak tree that grows thicker and thicker and thicker, but this is it's like paper. Kind of like, what are the trees? Birch trees, right. Mm-hmm. Except instead of going around the tree, they're long strips that could be 10, 12. I remember as a kid, we'd peel the bark off the tree because it would come off, and we'd run around with these kites. They're paper thin, and they'd be like 10 feet behind us.
Wow.
And so that just falls into the forest floor and is kindling. And if the heat comes along and it takes off. And so there's a fire down in Victoria, which is the state to the south. You could think of it this way, friends, that Australia basically has the same land size mass as the United States. So think of, and there's only 7 states. There's not like we have 40 in the lower states, right?
I think 48.
48, pardon me.
When's that citizenship test, Wayne?
It still is early.
It is. Give you a pass.
So think of only 7 states. So mm-hmm. all the states are very, very big, except for Tasmania, which is the little island on the bottom. So Victoria is, you could think of it like, in terms of its position and everything, be Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, that sort of space. They have 2 fires that came together there. That are 3 times, now that one fire is 3 times the size of the largest fire we've ever had in the U.S.
Unbelievable.
1 billion animals have been burned to death.
Mm-hmm.
It's just horrendous. Fire season, there is a fire season in Australia every year. Everybody knows that. Homes are outfitted with, if you're out close to the bush in any way, these days, not 20, 30 years ago, but these days, houses are outfitted with tanks on the side of the house that can put water on top of the roof. You know, if you build a new house, they'd collect rainwater and fill. When I say tanks, I'm talking about they could be, I would think, 8 or 9 feet high and might be 5 feet wide, and they're collecting water either for use in the house because it's such a dry nation, or invariably so that they've got ways in which to manage forest fires in their own place. However, the Australians for many years were, we stay and fight. And that would have been the policy until 2016. There was a fire down where the present one, the big one is down in Victoria right now. And I think it came racing through a town, and I think it was 139 people were killed within the day. And so they've taken some different approaches to all of that. And
trying to figure out ways to be proactive.
So I have a cousin who is...
protect property.
Yeah, so... invariably, if fire comes that quickly, people will run towards the water or the lake or the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a cousin who manages a fireboat as part of the crew of a fireboat on a big lake in New South Wales. So think of, again, geographically, it would be like, say, Charlotte, that sort of space where, in terms of where it is in Australia. And he's been out fighting these fires, and people run towards the water, and they get neck deep in the water to save themselves, and it's his job to go and then collect them. And he came home last week smelling of smoke. He'd been out for hours upon hours, and my aunt was watching the kids because his wife is a 911 dispatcher. So it's a very tough family situation you can manage. So my aunt goes down to watch the kids, and Jamie comes home, and she says, "Jamie, you got to go take a shower. Please go take a shower because you don't smell good, all that smoke." She goes upstairs, takes a shower. He comes back there. She says, "You need to go take another
one. Take another one. Redo.
It's in your pores. So you've probably seen all the photos online with all the animals.
Seen them online, watched on the news.
Yeah,
I
the
mean,
koalas.
It's just tragic. Yeah.
The koalas. This is a really cool story up in Port Macquarie. Port Macquarie is a little town of probably 40,000 people, maybe north of Sydney. They have a koala hospital up there. Leslie and I have visited it a number of times. And they take injured koalas out, and koalas get hit by cars, and they often survive. And then this koala hospital would take care of them. And koalas have a form of chlamydia that's very dangerous for them. Did I say that right?
Like 75% of them have it.
Yeah, it's a form of a human sexually transmitted disease. And so there are ways that has to be treated. So they will rescue the koalas and deal with that way, give them antibiotics. And so this little hospital has a staff of four or five people and all kinds of volunteers. Leslie and I have looked into if we go to Australia at some point, could we volunteer for 3 or 4 days? And they say, no, you have to come. You have to be willing to give a whole month. So you go through training and you stay for a whole month. Anyway, it's a small operation. They probably have had, every time we've been there, 40, 50 koalas that are in the hospital. It's a really cool situation. Part of the hospital, they're up in trees, and some of them are actually being in like playpens.
Right.
Anyway, so they put up a GoFundMe account. They wanted to raise $25,000 to put some water stations out in the bush around, so where koalas are being burnt, that they could give them water. Well, I don't know what happened, but this went viral. They've raised $5.6 million.
Holy cow.
Yeah, trying to raise $25,000, and now they've got $5.6 million.
These koalas need a lot of help.
Yeah.
Their brains are the smallest brains, like per...
Is that right?
Yeah, they have small brain compared to the proportion of their body. And the eucalyptus leaves that they eat intoxicate them in some way.
So yes, they're
walking around like high with
they're high the whole time,
and
right?
They have small brain power.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really struggling. And I mean, just to be honest, and you see some of these touching videos of people and other animals helping them out, you know, as they're...
One of the problems that face, though, is as people are finding them, too many, they've issued a call to Australians, do not make them drink from a water bottle. Because if you make them drink from the water bottle, they open up their throat too wide, which they lift their head up. You could imagine this, right? They open up their throat too wide, and they take in too much water. And some of them that are sick are because they were given too much water by humans trying to help out. So if you come across a koala in the wild that needs water, make certain that you put the water in a pan and make them lap it.
I'll file that piece of information away. I'm not sure when it's going to come into play, but at least I know if I walk into Central Park and there's a thirsty-looking koala, I'll get a pan.
May I suggest, if you want something funny to look at, by the way, so a British reporter, a young woman was in Australia and was doing a story on the koala bears in Light of the Fires. And the local Australians can be kind of, they're very funny, and they played a prank on her. They said, well, we've only got a drop koala bear. We've got a drop bear for you. What's a drop bear? Well, there's two kinds of koalas. There's the koalas that come out of the trees and they come down at night, and then there's the drop bears that just drop on humans, and they're very dangerous. So they put this woman in all this protective gear. She had to wear goggles, and she was little. You can see she's very nervous that she's going to hold this drop bear that has talons that are longer than everybody else, and if it bites you, it's gonna just gone. Hilarious video of this woman. No, koalas are not dangerous. However, I have never held a koala, and most Australians would never have held a koala. Koala fur is like, that's like saying, how often have you held a deer?
Yeah,
right. Who, I mean,
unless you're a deer hunter.
Unless you're a deer hunter, and Australians don't shoot koalas. They will shoot kangaroos, because kangaroos are as prolific as deer. So you can eat kangaroo, and there are a lot of kangaroos that get killed on the roadways, like we do have a deer here. But a koala fur is kind of like a deer, whereas a kangaroo's fur is very, very soft. It's different than what you'd expect. But Leslie's held a koala. We were at a... Long story, we had an event, and they had a koala that you could hold. Now, I've been up against koalas and petted them, but generally Australians do not hold a koalas because they're very slow, but they're very
temperamental or unpredictable.
They can be temperamental, unpredictable, and socially not really wanting to hang out with humans. Whereas some kangaroos are very much very affectionate, more, not all. You can get the big red kangaroos, which are about probably 6 to 6.5 feet tall, and they'll box you, or they'll literally, you can die from them. This is pretty gross, but they can actually, they'll come back, rear back on their tail, and if they're offended with you, that's how they struggle with one another and fight one another. They'll take their paws, if you will, their feet, and they'll rip your intestines out. So you have to be careful with some kangaroos, but there are the species of kangaroos that will be actually very affectionate.
Okay, so I've learned today, if I'm going to give a koala water, I do it in a pan.
Right.
And if I run into a kangaroo that's sitting back on his tail,
rub.
Don't get close. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm just glad
I got out of bed today.
Yeah, we're all good.
We are a full-service radio show here today. Yeah. So if you're going to go somewhere, you get to pet a koala. I mean, a kangaroo, it's going to be one of the more gentle versions. Hey, yeah. You know, kangaroos go from, probably the smallest versions, maybe 5.5-6 inches tall, to the big tall ones, which are 6-6.5 feet tall. And if you run into one of the big ones on the road, you know, it's like running into a deer. It messes up your car.
Yeah. Kangaroos aren't on any other continent, are they?
That's correct. They're marsupials.
And they're only in Australia.
Only in Australia. Native to Australia. You know, another thing that's in Australia that people don't realize? Camels. Camels were, you know, remember the inside of Australia is all desert and the outback, if you will. And so in the early 20th century, the Europeans brought camels with them, and they overbred, and there are thousands and thousands of wild camels in the center of Australia. And during drought seasons, they become very problematic because they come into town, and they look for water, and they can find, if they find that there are water drops on a single-story house, and there might be water drops in a gutter, they'll tear the gutters off your house.
To get a drink.
Well, fair enough.
Wow.
Well, with all of that, what are we doing with weather? Are we having weather, water, and out gutters that the camels can get to today?
Yeah, well, let's find out. Today is going to be sunny with a high near 30, and tonight mostly cloudy with a low around 20. For Friday, we've got some snow in the afternoon, a high of 33. Chance of your accumulation is less than 0.5 inch. And for Saturday, we've got a 50% chance of rain in the morning. It'll be cloudy and then cold later on. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 17 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:22.
I'm Jen Wood from Maroa Lumber Company. At Maroa Lumber, we carry more than just top quality grade lumber. We feature high performing brands like Anderson, Wadena, CHI, and Milwaukee. We also carry composite decking, molding, and trim, siding materials, garage doors, Pratt and Lambert paint, and so much more. At Maroa Lumber, we offer free estimates and takeoffs on any job. Whether it's a small project or building your dream home, Maroa Lumber has the knowledgeable staff to get the job done. Visit us at MaroaLumber.com or give us a call, 794-2222.
You know what happens when your garage door opens? Life. Each morning you trust that after the kids are loaded up, your garage door will open and a new day will begin. When your garage door closes each night and you're inside with your family, you're at home. A garage door is more than just a door. It's a portal to your life.
Let locally owned Mid-State Overhead Doors keep your life on track. Visit MidStateOHD.com today.
More people come home to Mid-State Overhead Doors.
Preventative dental care is important throughout your life. One simple way to keep your smile bright and healthy from childhood through adulthood is by cleaning between your teeth by flossing at least once a day. You can also use a mouthwash to help kill bacteria and freshen your breath. Using floss and mouthwash will help remove plaque and food particles from between the teeth and under the gum line. This oral health tip is brought to you by Jerker Pediatric Dentistry, providing exceptional dental care for infants, children, and young adults.
Join Milliken University on Tuesday, January 28th for the 2020 James W. Moore Lecture, Unwanted Spy, The Persecution of an American Whistleblower, featuring Milliken alum Jeffrey Sterling. Sterling, author, lawyer, and former CIA analyst, will discuss his fight for justice in the face of racial discrimination, federal espionage charges, and more than 2 years of imprisonment. Hear how Sterling's whistleblowing on the Iran task force ties into today's global affairs on January 28th in Milliken's Kuiper Hall. The event is free and open to the public.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM.
Down at this yellow-haired girl, Mr. Jones strikes up a call.
Welcome back, friends. I'm glad you're with us. My name is Wayne Kent, sitting in for the vacationing Brian Byers. Joining me in the studio today is a longtime friend, 20-plus years of doing life together. We used to sit in the stands and watch our kids do this, that, and the other, and all that sort of stuff. Dr. David Bomberger. David is a physician at DMH, and you served for a period of time as the medical director up there.
Chief medical officer for about 3 years, from 2015 to 2018.
What's the chief medical officer do?
Walk around the hospital, drink coffee, you know. Okay. Go to a lot of meetings.
Chief medical officer is basically, are we doing everything the right way from the medical?
From the medical staff standpoint, right. Making sure that we're doing everything that we can to help the process of
care. Did you get special education for that? I know the answer, but there's the question.
Well, thanks. In 08, 09, DMH approached me and two other physicians about going back to school while we were in practice to get a degree in leadership, physician leadership, and an additional year beyond that to get a master's in business administration. So I did that in 2008, 2009, while I was still in practice, and some of that was here and abroad and so forth, and then in 2015.
Was that a good experience?
It was a great experience. Yeah, it was a really good experience. The cohort in our class, there was only about 12 or 13 people, and most of them were primarily from Omaha. There's three of us from Decatur. Everybody else was from Omaha because the program is through the University of Nebraska in conjunction with Gallup University. And Gallup University is based in Omaha. So Gallup was responsible for doing a lot of the leadership training.
What's the big takeaway from that?
I think that the big takeaway from that is that, you know, there's a lot that needs to go on in medicine these days, and physician leaders need to be trained. It's not an easy transition to go from seeing patients to now making organizational decision.
I think about the profession I'm in preaching. You go to seminary, you learn a lot of theology.
Sure.
And there was one class that was business administration or church leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And yet in reality, in my day-to-day profession, I probably have to do more leadership and administration than theology. And it's probably the same in med school, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Did you have to take any accounting in med school?
Not in med school. But when I did my MBA, I had accounting, finance, economics, marketing.
You wish you'd had that back when you got it out of med school to start with?
I don't think so. I think doing it later in life was really helpful. You kind of learn as you go back in the day. I mean, I had my own practice, so you learn real quickly how to run a business.
Right.
And some of the things that Gary was talking about earlier in terms of customer service and people and all that. You're managing the patient experience. You're managing your employees' experience. You want to make sure that everybody's on board and everybody's having they're having a worthwhile interaction.
So my undergraduate degree, I started out in music, ended up in the music business, but I had to, and ended up with, in the long run, a business administration degree with a minor in music, a major minor.
A major minor.
Major minor in music, lots and lots of music. But just straight up knowing how to do accounting and how to look at a balance sheet.
Right.
I think about the people who sit behind desks similar to me in churches all across the city and have no clue, and how helpful that has been to me over the years to know how to look at a balance sheet and say, well, what about this, this, that, and that over there? What's with that? That's
right.
Always been good.
Yeah. And, you know, when we were in private practice back in, you know, 84 to 94, that range, you learn real quick when the payments are coming in and you're paying out your staff and all that, you learn real quick how to read financial statements because you have to. If you don't, you're going to be kind of underwater.
That's right. Well, when we get back, I want to see if we take on – we're going to take a break here, but when we get back from a news break, we'll see if we could take on a few medical stories. That I pieced out together yesterday, looked around yesterday and said, what about this, this, and this? I always have questions of you, Doc.
I know, and I'm always come in here not knowing what Wayne's going to throw in front of me. So
yeah,
it's always a potpourri.
That's right, obscure stuff. But in the meanwhile, friends, I'm very glad you're with us. I trust you're having a great day. The sun is beginning to shine. It looks good. And I'm sitting in for the vacationing Brian Byers. My name is Wayne Kent. Joining us in the studio today, Dave Bomberger, and running the board with excellence, as usual, Mr. Nick Smith. You're listening to News Talk 1340 WSOY. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
This is Shiler with your stories now. The Illinois Lottery is launching two new Monopoly instant games. The Monopoly 10 times and the Monopoly 25 times multiplier tickets are now on sale, costing $2 and $5 each. Lottery spokesperson Jason Schomburg says it's a good time to celebrate a favorite childhood game.
Monopoly turns 85 years old this year, actually. And so in January, the lottery launched a new set of Monopoly instant tickets.
The grand prize ranges from $25,000 to $350,000. And there is also a second chance drawing for non-winning tickets for a trip to Las Vegas. The Decatur Celebration is looking for its next King and Queen. Nominations for King and Queen are now being accepted, and all you have to do is send in your name for a chance to be crowned King or Queen of the Decatur Celebration and receive exclusive VIP perks. The contest is based on a point system at group fundraising events. Points are based on participation, promotional efforts, and of course, funds raised. For more information and a list of previous winners, go to nowdecatur.com. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Ahead of President Trump's impeachment trial in the Senate, an indicted associate of his attorney, Rudy Giuliani, says he conveyed a message to Ukraine's president that he needed to announce a Joe Biden investigation to receive anything from the United States. Lev Parnas tells MSNBC.
President Trump knew exactly what was going on. He was aware of all of my movements. I wouldn't do anything without the consent of Rudy Giuliani or the president.
The day after, Parnas says he delivered the message, Vice President Pence canceled the trip to the Ukrainian president's inauguration. Iran's President Hassan Rouhani says his country's enriching more uranium now than it did before signing a now crumbling nuclear deal in 2015.
Iranian officials have said in recent months that they've blown through limits on both the quantity of uranium Iran is allowed to stockpile and also the purity of the material. Higher purity can be used in bombs.
Fox's Simon Owen. America's listening to Fox News.
CentralIllinoisHelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
What are you doing, Dave? We need help with payroll.
I'm doing squats, Mr. Employee of the Month. I'm taking your advice and I'm working my butt off.
That's not what I meant.
Glutes of steel. Feel them. Right here.
Oh, Dave. Now I have to call HR.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. CentralIllinoisHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work. CentralIllinoisHelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Hey, Dave, why is the other Dave chopping down a tree out front?
Well, Mr. Employee of the Month, you said you needed some set.
I said I needed that report ASAP, as in right away.
Oh, so what does that have to do with the tree?
Oh, boy.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. CentralIllinoisHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Here's a look at your WSOY three-day weather forecast. Today is going to be sunny with a high near 30, and tonight mostly cloudy with a low around 20. For your Friday, there's going to be some snow, mainly in the afternoon, high of about 33. And for Saturday, we've got a 50% chance of rain before 9 a.m. It'll be a cloudy day with a low of 26 and some wind gusts as high as 40 miles per hour. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 17 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:33.
Tupper on Sports on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back, friends. It's good to have you here. Dave Baumberger and I. Going to visit with a friend of ours, Mark Tupper. Mark, how are you this morning? You want to talk to us a little bit about baseball? Talk about it being in the news these days, and my, oh my, they're cheating in baseball.
Can you believe that, Wayne? you know, hey, Monday is the day for the Cardinal Caravan to roll into town at the Decatur Hotel and Conference Center. You know, tis the season for midwinter baseball talk, and wow, as you say, there is much to talk about in the world of Major League Baseball right now. This sign-stealing scandal has already claimed two high-profile managers, and a third could still tumble. But beyond that, there is a great deal of off-season player movement and potential movement at the third base position. The Rangers recently signed Todd Frazier. This week, the Twins agreed to pay Josh Donaldson $92 million for 4 years. But two big fish are still out there, and those are Chris Bryant of the Cubs and Nolan Arenado of the Colorado Rockies. The Cubs are still waiting on a ruling regarding Chris Bryant's service time. Basically, the decision will say whether the Cubs have 1 year of cost control or 2 years. And he is more valuable in a trade if the answer is 2 years. And the Cubs have primarily been linked to the Atlanta Braves, who have a bunch of very good young pitching talent. And the Arizona Diamondbacks have reportedly been talking to the Cubs as well. But a trade of Nolan Arenado from the Colorado Rockies to the Cardinals would be a blockbuster, and that speculation just won't go away, and it will be off the charts at the Cardinal Caravan Monday if nothing has happened yet. You know, when you think about an Arenado trade to St. Louis, I just keep coming back to that this would be a really tough sell for their fans of the Rockies if they were to make this trade and deal away their superstar player. And the only way they can make that work is if the haul from the Cardinals would be very, very high. And, we're in that sort of stage with all this where there's just speculation. You know, what package could the Cardinals put together? One I saw had Dakota Hudson, Carlos Martinez, Tyler O'Neill, and one other pitcher going to Colorado. Now, is that a deal that Colorado would like? I don't know. But this is kind of the stuff that keeps baseball fans warm and fuzzy during the cold, long winter. You know, we can dream about all these things, but I think something's going to happen on Chris Bryant here very quickly. And that could result in a deal for the Cubs. They've got to get some younger players. They can't pay all of their young people when they come eligible for the big contracts. And I think that's a direction that looks like they're going to go.
Couple comments. One is, Chris Bryant, I think wherever he ends up being one of the leaders on a team. Just his personality. He seems like mm-hmm. a joyous, if kind of charismatic type guy. That's good for any team that he ends up. Secondly, I'd like to be a fly on the wall as these decisions are made. Because it's involving dollars and people's lives and families in a way. I mean, I agonize if I'm hiring somebody that we're going to move them in, and that's a big one person and how their kid's going to respond. I mean, I can't imagine when you say, we're going to move this six families this way, seven families this way, and it's going to all told run about $300 million. I just don't.
The other thing that would be fun would be to be these players' agents.
Whoa, yeah.
There's a big payday for those guys.
Yeah, it's a big deal. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I want you to see what you can tell us about the NFL playoffs this weekend, and who do you think's going to go where? All right, we'll put you on hold, and we'll be right back.
877-1000. Remember it, right in town. 877-1000. We'll pay top dollar for your old vehicle. Just get it here. Drive it, tow it, pull it, or push it. We don't care. We'll even pick it up in the local Decatur area. Just get it here. We'll pay the highest prices around. That's 877-1000. Lost the title? Don't worry. We can help. We're Available Auto Parts. 2670 North Woodford Street, Decatur. The big blue building just south of Pershing Road. We also remove abandoned cars free. That's 877-1000. Call now, and I'll stop yelling.
Welcome back, friends. I forgot. I'm sitting here. We're chatting away. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great.
You're just waiting, weren't you? You're very kind of you. That was a foul up on my part. Tell us about the NFL playoffs this weekend.
Well, the Pro Football World's gearing up for the two conference championship games on Sunday. This is the NFL's equivalent of the Final Four. The two winners Sunday will advance to the Super Bowl February 2nd in Miami. The AFC championship game will be played first at 2:05 Sunday afternoon on CBS. That's the Tennessee Titans at the Kansas City Chiefs. Tennessee beat Kansas City in a wild game in mid-November, 35-32, and yet Kansas City is favored by 7.5 points this Sunday. This game features two individual offensive powerhouse players. For Kansas City, it's their quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. He's amazing. He just engineered their comeback over Houston. And even in that loss to Tennessee earlier in the season, he had a very big game. The hope for Tennessee is that their running back, Derrick Henry, can continue to be this unstoppable guy that he has been in the playoffs. And in that victory over Kansas City in November, he rushed for 188 yards. People can't tackle him, Wayne, and they underestimate his speed. He's 6'3", 247 pounds, and he really moves fast. And if he gets up ahead of steam, he levels people. I think Tennessee's only chance is if he can get rolling and help them control the clock and keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes. But in the end, I think Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs find themselves in the Super Bowl. The Green Bay Packers are also a 7.5-point underdog against the San Francisco 49ers. The NFC title game starts Sunday at 5:40. That will be on Fox. Those teams met earlier this season as well, with the 49ers romping 37-8. The Packers have won 6 in a row since that game. And while I agree they are underdogs, and while I also agree that I think the 49ers probably win this game, the Super Bowl matchup I would most like to see personally would be Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City against Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I think there's genuine intrigue in that matchup that would hold the attention, I think, of a lot of people who really don't have a rooting interest in a Super Bowl that might include San Francisco and Tennessee, heaven forbid. But I like that one. I just think it's going to be Kansas City and San Francisco by the time we get to the Super Bowl. And, hey, no sport talk tonight. For like the first time in 30-some years, both Tim and I are not in town tonight. So we take a week off, and we will be back next Thursday.
All right. Well, thanks so much for that. So then we have NFL playoffs this week, and then we get 2 weeks off or 3 weeks off until the Super Bowl?
2 weeks off.
2 weeks off, and then we go. So the first weekend in February – well, it's second weekend in February, really, is when we're back
at it. It's February the 2nd. It's the first Sunday in February.
All right. I'm getting ahead of myself. Hey, Mark, wherever you're off to tonight, have a great time, and we'll be certain to be listening to Sports Talk next week and appreciate your work in the community by all means. And with that, David, let's do a little bit of medical stuff.
All right, let's go.
All right, so you ready for some conversation about some medical stuff?
Okay.
The New York Times yesterday, January 9th, said that the average body temperature of people is going down, that we were and have been, for the most part, 98.6, but we seem to be getting cooler, according to Nicholas Bacala. Since 1851, when the standard was set at 37 degrees centigrade or 98.6 Fahrenheit, the average human body temperature has steadily declined. Overall body temperature decreased by 3 degrees centigrade, 0.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Who cares all about that? Is what I'm wondering. Why are we getting colder?
Well, I'm not sure, and why does it matter? Our bodies still seem to be working just fine, right?
Yeah, so like if people, when I go to the doctor and they, I come to your office or whatever, and they say, what's your temperature? And it's never 98.6.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I kind of wondered about this too, I mean, they talk in here, they said they didn't feel there was any real difference between the technology. But really, you think about it, I mean, how did you measure temperature back in 1971 to 1975?
With a thermometer in your mouth?
A thermometer in your mouth. It had probably mercury in it, you know, those old glass thermometers. And now, 2007, 2017, I mean, the technology now for checking temperature, I mean, you can probably get appliances that attach to your iPhone to take your temperature. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways of taking temperature now. You know, rub the little wand on the forehead, check the ear. So I'm not sure I agree with their supposition that the technology is the same in 1970 and now. But even saying that, so let's assume it is, I don't know that it makes any difference.
Right.
So, I mean, a fever is still going to be a fever. Right. I mean, anything 3 degrees above baseline is still going to be a fever. So
and do people have different baselines? Is that?
Yeah. And I see actually that in the office quite a bit. I mean, the machine that we use for checking temperature, we check everybody's temperature when they come in. And there's quite a bit of variability. So, I mean, I really kind of agree with this because just on a general trend, I do see a lot of people in the office whose temperatures are in the 97, low 98 range, whereas before, you know, it used to be 98.6. But I don't know. It's interesting.
If I'm feeling well and I'm, you know, a normal day and I would take a temperature, I'm always 97.6, a full degree. And I'm short a degree.
You're short a degree. You're just one cool guy, Wayne.
That's right. All right, with that, let's take a break. We're going to take the Marquee Coffee break. Marquee Coffee is, that whole team has been fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for more than 30 years. Marquee Coffee is the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. And the magic is in their beans, friends.
Central Illinois HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
And now a word from Andrew's boss, Dave.
Thank you, and may I say, what a beautiful service. Everyone at the office will miss Andrew. He was kind, quick with a joke, and great with quarterly P&L reports. He will never be replaced in our hearts. However, my accounting department needs someone ASAP.
I think that's enough.
One last thing, Padre. My favorite Andrew memory was when he came in to interview. He told me he got a bachelor's in whatever accountants get, and I figured some of his college buddies might be here who got the same thing and need a job. Wow, that's inappropriate. But it reminds me of the last thing Andrew said to me.
I think you should leave.
How did you know?
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at CentralIllinoisHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
We don't discriminate against people named Dave. Dave is a common name, fun to say, and so we're using it as a catch-all for lackluster bosses everywhere. They post jobs on the big national job boards because they really don't care. Please do not write us to tell us you're a Dave who was insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
Hi, this is Brady Streckman from the Brass Horn. If you know me, you know that I love to wear men's and a main dress shirts. Thanks to the breathable microfiber stretch material in these American-made shirts, you'll never be more comfortable heading into work or out to dinner. Non-iron and machine washable, these shirts are super easy to take care of and always ready to wear. Come in today to try on a men's and a main dress shirt at the Brass Horn, located on Prairie Street in the heart of downtown Decatur, where you'll always find the right fit.
You put your heart and soul into your business. Partner with an organization as committed as you are to its success. Busey will build a relationship with you, offering tailored options for your unique needs. Whether you're considering your first business account or developing a strong succession plan, Busey has your backing. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of our many convenient locations today. Busey, your dream, our promise. Member FDIC.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM.
Forty-six minutes after the hour, friends. You're supposed to be at work by 8.
Get on it.
Get on it. Get on it. Dave, a story occurred, a situation occurred out in Los Angeles earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
An airplane, this is according to the New York Times, January 14th, an airplane making an emergency landing in L.A. dumped jet fuel on 6 nearby schools on Tuesday, inflicting minor injury to 60 adults and children. Shortly after Delta Flight 89 took off from the airport, the pilot turned the plane around because of an issue with the engine. Mm-hmm. So the belly of the plane or the wings of the plane are full of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
On its way back to the airport, the plane dumped fuel over a 5-mile swath that included 5 elementary schools and a high school, including at least one school where students were playing outside on a playground. The students and staff members complained of minor skin irritation and breathing problems. No one was transported to the hospital. The plane, a Boeing 777, had taken off at 11:30, was bound for Shanghai. So this is a big plane.
Mm-hmm.
Goes a long way. If you've done an international flight, so the flight from L.A. to Shanghai would probably be about 14 to 15 hours. So
right.
When you're on that plane and you're taking off on the runway, you know it's full of fuel because it takes forever. And it drops fuel. It's got a problem, so it drops fuel, which it has to do.
Right.
You'd prefer it be out over the ocean or whatever. But if it's – what would have happened to these children and teachers, staff, who are in the playground and this jet fuel falls out of
sure.
the sky?
Sure. You know, I mean, I think it kind of depends, but how much fuel they dumped over what big of an area. But if you would, just think if you had a like a lawn sprayer and you had it filled with fuel, whether it's kerosene, gasoline, whatever, and somebody just sprayed you, I mean, you can certainly get a lot of irritation of the skin, irritation of the eyes especially, and nose and the nasal passages would be quite irritated from that. So the biggest problem with a lot of these solvents is that if you inhale them and they get into the lungs, they can cause a pretty severe reaction in the lungs, inflammatory reaction.
So this is, I mean, you and I have talked in the past about mm-hmm. people vaping, which mm-hmm. is different. But you're very concerned about what people are putting in their lungs because you're seeing the results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that the we're seem to get a little better handle on what's going on with some of the vaping illnesses. It seems to be more in the black market products as opposed to the ones that are commercially available. But still, I mean, I still just from a philosophical standpoint, why do we need to put any of that stuff in our lungs, regardless of where it's made? It's just not healthy.
So these jetliners, the story says, usually those, especially those used on long flights, carry so much fuel when fully loaded that they take off weighing more than their maximum safe landing weight. So they consume enough fuel along the way to be well below that threshold by the time they land. However, if a flight is cut short, the plane may be significantly overweight, and they, pilots have three choices. Circle for a while to burn off fuel, but in an emergency, there may not be that sort of time. So they can land overweight, which risks damaging the aircraft, or they can drop fuel in the flight, spraying it through nozzles on the plane's wings. And so obviously that's what happened.
Right.
It'd be scary for the kids, for sure.
Sure.
And
I mean, if, and I don't know how high they were, if they were.
Boeing says that if you dump fuel at anywhere from 5,000 to 6,000 feet or higher,
yeah,
it turns to vapor before it hits the ground. But air traffic controllers are instructed to assign planes dumping fuel at less than 2,000 feet higher on the ground within 5 miles of the airport. So obviously this was a crisis moment, so to speak.
Yeah.
But the poor kids down below, I mean, that'd be, this stuff falls out of the sky and burns their skin.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it kind of comes down in one of two ways, because if it vaporizes, then that means it's converted to a gas. So it'd be like a huge kerosene gas cloud that would be descending. If they are at a lower altitude and it comes out as a liquid and stays as a liquid, you know, then you get sprayed with it. So, I mean, not to mention the fire risk.
Yeah. Fortunately, nobody was seriously hurt. Nobody had to be taken to the hospital, but nonetheless, 31 patients, including 20 children, had to be cared for by emergency medical workers. Quite a deal.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do this. We'll take a break because we need to hear what's going on with the weather. This is News Talk 1340 WSOY.
Here's a look at your WSOY 3-day weather forecast. Today is going to be sunny with a high near 30, and tonight mostly cloudy with a low around 20. For Friday, we've got some snow, mainly after 3 o'clock, and a high of about 33. Only a half of an inch is expected. For Saturday, 50% chance of rain in the morning, otherwise cloudy and cold with some wind gusts as high as 40 miles an hour. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 17 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:51.
Hi, this is Colleen Brinkotter with Brinkotter Realtors. Are you thinking of buying or selling a home? Give me a call. Colleen, 217-433-9068. Whether you're a first-time home buyer, moving up or downsizing or relocating, from the staging, marketing, to negotiating, to close. With over 25 years of experience, I can assist with making this a stress-free adventure. Call me, Colleen, 217-433-9068. I would love to make this a fun and stress-free adventure.
Catching up on what you missed on WSOY Decatur is easy, thanks to our sponsor, Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. Find all of the daily podcasts from Byers & Company, The Eric Lee Show, and so much more at nowdecatur.com. Find full hour podcasts or individual interviews, as well as full podcasts of the local games of the week. Catching up is easy wherever you are. Thanks to nowdecatur.com and Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin.
Hi, this is Brady Streckfish from the Brass Horn. If you know me, you know that I love to wear mezzanine main dress shirts. Thanks to the breathable microfiber stretch material in these American-made shirts, you'll never be more comfortable heading into work or out to dinner. Non-iron and machine washable, these shirts are super easy to take care of and always ready to wear. Come in today to try on a Mizzen & Main dress shirt at the Brass Horn, located on Prairie Street in the heart of downtown Decatur, where you'll always find the right fit.
Find everything you want from WSOY Decatur and nowdecatur.com wherever you are. Thanks to Hickory Point Bank. Invest it. Stream all of the local content, including Byers & Company and The Eric Lee Show, along with local sports and national shows. On the Now Decatur stream, listen with your smart speaker, Apple CarPlay, or on your phone. The Now Decatur stream is available everywhere. Thanks to our partner, Hickory Point Bank. Invest it. Download the Now Decatur app now and get everything you want wherever you are.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back in the day, I remember when.
That's right, back in the day, I remember. Exactly. I'm glad you're with us, friends. trying to do our best. We're trying to do our best here. We're not struggling at all. My name is Wayne Kent. In the studio with me is Dave Brumberger. Dave is a physician up at DMH. So you and I are in our 60s. You're in your 60s, aren't you?
I sure am.
Right?
Yep.
And so our careers are still in front of us, but probably not as many years in front of us as behind.
Fair statement.
And our peers now are people who are 30 years younger than we are.
Right.
Is that right?
That's right. Absolutely.
How are doctors in their 30s different than a doctor at 60 some this year?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, number one, at the technology part of it, I think that the doctors that are in their 30s, you know, much more early adapters, you know, being able to interact with the electronic records and all that much easier. Doctors that have been practicing medicine for 30, 40 years, starting out on paper charts and all that, you kind of have developed a certain workflow based on the tools that you had. Mm-hmm. And that paper chart workflow doesn't necessarily transfer over to an electronic workflow.
So if I go to the physician, if I sit in your office, or as you know, Scott Bill is my physician right now, and I sit there, the nurse comes in or somebody comes in, and they're clicking, click, 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 and I'm thinking, I don't know if this is really saving time, because they're saying no to so many things, and give me some insight on that.
Well, I think you're exactly right, Wayne, and there's two parts of this. Number one is just all the little boxes that have to be checked. Some of that is for compliance with payers and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you're right. It's a lot of boxes that check. The other thing that really kind of concerns me, and when we first went to electronic record, and I still believe it today, is the amount of eyeball time spent on the monitor versus eyeball time spent on the patient. You know,
exactly.
That was the one part of my practice that I always have enjoyed, and I've always felt that I've done well at, as far as interacting with my patients and, you know, having face-to-face, eye-to-eye conversations. And that, you know, now you have this electronic device that really is kind of between you. And that impacts the relationship.
Well, and frankly, that can be life-saving. And I'll just be straight up, friends. David saved my life. I called him up one afternoon, 2014, 3 or 4 days before Christmas, said, I got a pain here. And he knows me well enough that he says, you better get to the emergency room right now. I'll meet you. And then they wanted to release me.
Right.
And he said, no, this doesn't seem right for Wayne. He's staying overnight. And the next thing you know, the next morning, come to find out, I'm within a hair's breadth of a major heart attack.
Right.
And probably would have been terminal. And just because you and I have looked across as my doctor, and you kind of, and plus we're friends, but you
can see it in the eyes.
You knew what to do, and you knew. And fair enough, the attending physician in the emergency room, talented guy, says we should send him home. But Dave says, I know this guy well enough. Something's not right. He stayed overnight. It saved my life. I hope that sort of relationship between patients and physicians continues. That we don't get so technically. The technology of the day at that moment, 2014, said send him home.
Yeah.
You said no, it was keeping him. And if I'd gone home, I probably wouldn't be here today. That's my conviction.
I mean, I remember that vividly, too. And fortunately, everything worked out great, and you're here and doing a fantastic job and so forth. But I'll tell you what, Wayne, the thing that you're kind of hitting on, and that is that what are the things that satisfy or dissatisfy physicians? And to some degree, this necessity to interact so much with technology is a bit of a dissatisfier in terms of the profession.
Really?
Because although the information is readily available, you can pick things up, it's still not at its mature level yet to really be able to have...
And in the long run, people want to interact with people, not machines.
Exactly.
Particularly if you're a physician.
Exactly.
You're in the business of healing. You're not in the business of computers.
Yeah. You're not there to push buttons and click keyboards. You want to take care of people.
On the other hand, you got to go with the times, and you got to figure out how to use this technology, and maybe it's still new enough we haven't figured it out.
Yeah, use it as a tool, but don't make it the point of the.
All right, David, you better get out of here. You got patients waiting for you. They don't want to sit in that waiting room for too long. You better get out of here. In the meanwhile, we will take a break, and we'll shift gears altogether. This is News Talk 1340 WSOY.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now. The Decatur Celebration is looking for its next King and Queen. Nominations for King and Queen are now being accepted, and all you have to do is send in your name for a chance to be crowned King or Queen of the Decatur Celebration and receive exclusive VIP perks. The contest is based on a point system at group fundraising events. Points are based on participation, promotional efforts, and of course, funds raised. For more information and a list of previous winners, go to nowdecatur.com. The WSOYMCA Challenge crowned a champion after a special 10-week holiday session concluded this week, with Mark Wood claiming the top spot. This challenge emphasized running and conditioning to go along with working on